You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Roundtable Show. This is episode 125. We do this on the last Thursday of every month. We discuss the best WordPress and tech stories of the month. We've got a great special guest with us. And we've got James Laws, the CEO of Nidia Forms. So, should be a great show. So, James, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is James Laws. I'm the CEO of Ninja Forms, partner at SendWP, so transactional email service and form builder. Been in the community for 15 years.
And I've got Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Mark Benzikane. I am with MainWP. I handle partnerships, and that's about it.
You might have to put your sound up a little bit, James.
James, not yourself.
And I've got my friend Chris. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Chris from Lifter LMS and the LMS Cast podcast.
Rightio. And I've got my friend Spencer. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Spencer Farman from WP Launchify.
And I've got my friend and co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Kurt Von Annen. I have an agency called Manana Nomas, and I work directly with the awesome teams at Lifter LMS and WP Tonic.
I've had some technical troubles, folks, but we've managed to get some show going. Oh, what a nightmare. But there we go. We've got some fabulous stories, folks. We're going to be talking about WordPress 7.1. We're going to be talking about OpenAI. We're going to be talking about the state of the WordPress community survey, what it finds. Got a ton of great stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a couple of messages. I've got a message from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
WP Tonic is sponsored by Jetpack. Managing WordPress sites shouldn't mean stitching together a pile of disconnected plugins. Jetpack brings security, performance, publishing, growth, and AI tools together in one WordPress native toolkit. Use what you need. Backup, scan, boost, social, video press, stats, and more, all with modernized dashboards built into WP Admin. For your site or your client's sites, see what Jetpack can do. Jetpack.com. WP Tonic is sponsored by Ninja Forms. And let's talk about one of their powerful tools, conditional logic. Conditional logic is the clearest example. Every rule for the whole form lives in one panel instead of being buried field by field. On client work, build speed and low maintenance are part of your margin. A form that is fast to configure and that a client can run afterward without coming back means less friction during the build and less support load after the handoffs. Ninja Forms, powerful and genuinely easy to work with without being dumbed down. To learn more, go to ninjaforms.com.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out we've got some great special deals from the sponsors, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins, technologies, and services for the WordPress power user, freelancer, or small agency owner. You can find all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. And Spencer didn't butt in, so everything's good. So he's bored. He's been waiting for 10 minutes.
I gave the visual, not the verbal.
All right, yeah. I've been suffering technology problems. So let's go straight into it, folks. WordPress 7.1, Mary Lou launches WordCamp US with responsive styling, improved media handling, and new blocks. What more could you ask for? James, what would you like to say about this story? And keep it clean, James. Keep it clean.
Well, you know, a few of the things that I would say as I was kind of looking, I was there when they were supposed to do the launch for 7.1 and some great stuff, some great collaborative features and stuff like that. The weird thing was the way it was released. 7.1 was, I guess they were supposed to do it on stage during Matt's kind of fireside chat. And there was some miscommunications that seems to have happened. And it got launched like 45 minutes, 30 minutes early or something like that. But that whole session was a little disjointed. It seemed like they
was it as bad as this podcast, James?
No, we were much later at the fireside chat. It was like 25 minutes late starting the session. You know, they did the whole countdown, got it all ready to go, and then the countdown came, and then nothing for 25 minutes. We just sat there waiting. So they obviously, a lot of things had gone either wrong or had changed. I have no information as to what happened backstage, but it was bizarre.
Got any comments about the major features they've added?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've got some really nice stuff going on. Obviously, they're trying to make, you know, we're trying to push WordPress forward to kind of be an all-inclusive kind of site builder and cover all those kind of experiences. So they've added some more controls to the styling, like so individual block styling. So depending on your screen size and stuff like that, some collaborative features. Although, you know, with me, when I think about collaborative features, I wonder if this is a problem that people are trying to solve. Maybe it is. Or if we've already solved this by working in other instances and then bringing it over. I don't know how many people actually publish or do all the creation inside of WordPress versus bring their creations over when they're ready. And so I'm curious to see how that impacts how people use WordPress as a creative tool.
And what do you reckon, Chris?
It's a really small thing, but I love the new tabs block. It's kind of funny because it's the only thing I held on to Cadence Blocks plugin for was for tabs. People use tabs a lot in lessons inside courses and whatever. So I was happy to see that. But my last WordCamp US was the one in Portland where the whole WP Engine thing kicked off. I have since been to one in Asia, and I'm really looking forward to the one in Spain. So I am going to go to WordCamp Europe in Malaga, Spain this year.
That sounds lovely. Mark, what did you think of it?
Well, I haven't messed with it too much yet, but I am anxious to get my hands on the new handling of how it handles media, because having to go in and 9 times out of 10 when I need to edit a photo or some sort of media, I do it outside of WordPress and then upload it because it's always done such a crappy job within WordPress. So I'm anxious to play with that. Like Chris, the tabs block is kind of a cool thing, and also the main reason that I've been holding on to Cadence. So, and I just in the last few days had an issue with Cadence, and I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can take this, you know. I love Cadence. It's all right. I have in the past, so it's definitely one of those things that I'm anxious to play with. I just haven't had the opportunity to do it. So,
all right, Spencer, what do you reckon?
Well, I mean, I guess the good news is it got from 7.0 to this version without too many drama stops. There was the initial release. This one, I noticed, just caused a little CSS hiccup for some other systems, but mostly no big deal. I'm not 100% sure whether these things are requiring the default theme. Does anybody know? Because I don't know this. Is 2025 still the default theme in there? Okay. That seems very odd to me, because like the maximum use of these things would be with a standard theme instead of that. 2025 is just a non-starter. So I still use Cadence as my core as well, even though that company has generally imploded around itself. The Cadence theme itself is still solid, and it's the foundation of what I use. So I like the idea that if you have a stable workspace with tools, you can build anything. When you have all the variables, you don't. So it'd be kind of cool if we had something comparable to Cadence theme as the default for WordPress instead of all these other rando themes that come out, like 2025 coming out with, you know, the whole content area is 2 inches wide and everything is gigantic titles. That's just contrary to the purposes of things like these new editing tools.
What do you reckon, Kurt?
I find every time that there's a big launch in WordPress, there's a certain like dichotomy that comes with it, right? Because if you're an agency type person, or if you've been around for a bit, you already have your tech stack, right? And so, you know, I'm a Cadence Pro, Astro Pro, you know, Spectra, and those add those tools, right? And so when they're like, hey, great news, we got this thing coming out, it has all these tools. It's almost like you have to drive back, right? And go, okay, if I was just getting started again, would this be important to me? Would this be something that would make this better? And I think in a lot of cases, I would say, yeah, I think it was. The whole deal with like being able to put your audios all in one block. Like, I love that. Like, there's certain things and certain reasons. Like, so if you blog or run a playlist of video or audio, like, that's a really cool feature that without having to go to another tool to create it. So I see it. It's cool. I'm kind of with James on the collaboration thing. I don't see a lot of people needing to collaborate in WordPress. And for that low number use case, I would say, well, you would just get multi-collab from multi-dots, right? So it's like WordPress has so many tools and so many extensions and add-ons that we can add to it that I often wonder, why did we add this stuff to the core? I always go back to the why. Why are we changing the core if we already have the tools that fit these odd use cases? But that's for someone up at the top to answer, not for me.
Why? That's the question, isn't it? On to the next story. OpenAI hits the brakes. Now what? Well, my beloved panel, OpenAI seems to be having some problems. They've lost a lot of management recently, which is a bit odd, isn't it? You know, some of their key management, that some of them only been there like 8-9 months, have jumped ship. And now there's questions, are they going to be able to do a IPO this year or the beginning of next year? So who shall I start with? I'll start with Chris. What do you think's going on in OpenAI?
Well, this is exponential times, so things happen really fast. People come, they leave. Anthropic really ate OpenAI's lunch. And now maybe we're moving to Grokbot. I don't know. There's like the AI hype cycles. Sam has a lot of challengers to his leadership and past decisions and the way he's managed the business. So from an investing standpoint, I just want to mention, I personally wouldn't invest in OpenAI if it had an IPO or even Anthropic, because the large language models are really be kind of merging on each other and becoming commoditized. A lot of the value is going to be upstream from that, like the applications, like the recent cancer solving cure things that's accelerated with AI. But that's at like the healthcare and pharmaceutical company levels. So we definitely need the large language models, and OpenAI is awesome. To me, I'm much more excited about tools like WP Vibe, which makes it easy for people to connect ChatGPT to their WordPress site. I've been playing a lot with that kind of tech, and it's really interesting. But the underlying large language model is really commoditizing super fast.
Yeah, it's still up in the air a little bit. So, James, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris. We're in this stage right now where this is new. It's the new shiny toy. And so we're seeing a lot of people building a lot of the same stuff, because we've all felt the same problems in software. We felt the same problems in our businesses. So everyone's building the same thing. And I think that's a phase that we're in. And eventually those things are going to start to drop off, and the new novel and actual innovations are going to start to rise to the top, and all that other noise is going to start to disappear. But we're in the main moment right now where everything is fun. As far as OpenAI, I mean, you know, the article, one of the things we've been talking about a little bit is like OpenAI is like hitting the brakes. And the truth is that's more marketing than anything. I think it's a great showpiece. It's the, kind of the same thing that Anthropic did with Mythos. Can't release Mythos because it's so powerful. And OpenAI now is like, oh, our model broke out of its containment and hacked Hugging Face. And are both of those things potentially true? Sure. But they're all marketing it and saying, well, we're slowing down. But the truth is OpenAI isn't really slowing down. They're still putting out models. They're still getting ready to release a new model and they're going to continue to do so. And so I think a lot of it is show and marketing and you know, it's still a fun time to be alive, though.
Yeah, I was watching some podcast, James, and they were saying that maybe it's not people leaving the top management. They were saying it's more culture where it's still in startup mode, where yeah. they're really having to push hard, where a lot of these people that are left were more from Stripe or from various backgrounds where a more established company. Do you think there's any credence there, James?
Yeah, I think you're also seeing, kind of as Chris said, like it is, you know, you said it too, like startups, they're in this kind of startup phase. So a lot of these people are just shuffling back and forth through the same kinds of companies because there's a more interesting problem that has enticed them to solve. And essentially these larger, bigger and talented thinkers want to go where the interesting problems are. And so if OpenAI isn't solving the interesting problem and Anthropic is or Google is or, you know, Meta or whoever is, they get enticed over there for a period of time. And then when that problem goes away and a new problem comes up and a bigger, you know, paycheck offer comes to them, they just keep swapping over. So a lot of these places are just cycling through the same top talent and they're just kind of rotating through. And we've seen this happen multiple times and just these last few years. So I think it's a lot of that is going on. And then some of them are saying, hey, I think I can build my own thing. Like I think I have enough from my experience here to do my own thing. And that's going to happen too, as the market is going to get broader and not be isolated, hopefully, to like three big players. It's going to start to kind of spread out and we're going to have a lot of players in the space as they fan out. So yeah, I think there is a lot of that involved.
You're going to have to look at your mic, James. It's still pretty faint, but I'll let you.
You know what the problem is my cloud lifter went out on me the other day, and I've been trying to crank it up without peaking too much, but over here I peak, but over here you're not hearing a lot. So I'll try to turn it up a little bit more for you.
Yeah, sure. All right. Thanks for that, James. So, Spencer, so do you think OpenAI has got some fundamental problems, or do you think what we're seeing is just part of the normal territory?
Well, we're seeing an arms race that's unfolding with various things happening, not dissimilar to normal arms races or warfare or business warfare. So we have the five frontier models that are all racing and trying to figure out where to monetize their incredibly subsidized marketplace. Anthropic, in particular, is the one of the nicer companies with some morals, but they're in the most disadvantaged position. Why? They have the leading frontier model with Fable, but they realized with Fable 5, they were going to come out at retail at $120 per million. Let's just call that, you know, tokens. All right. Now, the problem is they're already subsidized something on the order of 1,200%, which means that like they're giving away 1,199 pennies for every penny they take in income. People wouldn't have anything of that model on its own because Kimi 3 from China came in at like $1.93, like 1/100th of the cost and 95% of the capabilities. So now they've got a real problem because the driver, their best race car team driver, is subsidized 1,100%, and the retail value of him just went down 99%, which, do the math, I don't know what it's like 1/10,000th of the value of just the driver. So now they turn to the car. They go, huh, we better build the best cars. And they have three or four cars, right? They've got chat, they've got co-work, they've got code, they've got all the accessories and design, whatever. They do a really great job with the car. Now, Elon comes along with this subsidized money, the $100 trillion, and he goes, I'm going to buy Cursor's car for $60 billion to go with Grok, and I'm going to take Grok and make him a driver for $8. And you go down the line, and every one of these companies is hemorrhaging money, subsidized, and normal consumers are like, I'm waiting for that moment in time when text messages are free, and that instead of 65, you know, Nokia phones, there's one iPhone, and I can share everything with everybody. I'm waiting for the combination of car and driver that I can get married to. Then you got schmucks like me who come along and say, aha, I've already seen this movie 20 years ago when you guys promised Google that if I put my company inside of you, that it'll be free workspace forever. And you just stuck your thumb in my eye with your extortion letter last week where you said that I'm now paying not $9 per person per account, but now I have to pay $20 per person per account, or you just shut us off. I think I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go open source with all my tools, including the drivers through OpenRouter, who, by the way, OpenRouter, 700 LLMs that you can pay for through, guess who bought them?
They go Stripe. Didn't I get bought by Stripe?
Stripe. Stripe, the Collison brothers came in with their big money, and they're really cool dudes. They're like, we're going to control this asset, which is good for humanity, if you ask me. So now I have 700 drivers that won't get, you know, crazy pricing. I've got open source tools between WordPress and MiniLaunch, everything else, even open router tools that allow desktop. And I'm going to build my own car and driver team. And I am betting that there's going to be basically six types of people. You're going to pick a team to lock yourself into for Frontier, and it's all going to stabilize down into something kind of like the phone market, right? We all pay like $300 for all you can get for text messaging, blah, blah, blah. Or there's going to be people, hopefully in the WordPress space, who go open source. Either way, this is not a reflection of Sam Altman's true motive. He is a sycophant. He says one thing today and one thing tomorrow and one thing yesterday. He just changes his answers to suit whatever he's doing because they're hemorrhaging and they know it. And it's just market economics.
So, Mark, doesn't look too good for OpenAI if Spencer's right. You know, are these all this money that's been borrowed to build all these data centers? Do you think, well, if this pans out in the way that James and Spencer, I don't think a lot of these investors are going to get their money back. What do you reckon, Mark?
I honestly have no clue. I mean, I don't see how it's sustainable. Especially, I mean, Spencer put out some numbers that I wasn't even aware of. That's just overwhelming. I don't know how you overcome that, but I can barely think in terms of that much money anyway. So I do think that we're going to see, like James said, you know, there's going to be more and more, it's going to be more widespread. It's going to be, we're going to have our frontier models that everybody uses for sure. But I don't know how they can overcome. I think you're right. I don't think that the investors are going to get their money out of it. And at some point in time, sooner probably than later, they're going to start really wanting to. And that's when I think things are going to start getting nasty. And we'll see what happens. And maybe these people who all left are starting to see the writing on the wall because they're going to have some information that we don't have. Of course, they're going to see signs that we don't see, which is why they're as successful as they are. I'm on one hand, I'm a user. On the other hand, I'm in a wait and see mode because I don't know what's coming. I've had like 50 different scenarios in my head and they all make sense. So
well, I can tell you how the investors are going to get their money back. Right. I can tell you that right now. what's happening right now is they just, what was it, the NASDAQ, that these companies are IPOing and they're getting fast tracked. So they're not following the normal slow process of being put in the S&P or putting in the NASDAQ. All of our retirements that are invested in NASDAQ, these AI companies are going to be bundled into that, whether we like it or not. And we are all going to become unwilling participants into the AI bundle. And then these events, just investors are going to pull that money out and our retirements are going to tank. That's how the investors are going to get their money.
I think you're right on that. Yeah.
Because Larry Fink publicly coming out, revealing this plan in general, saying essentially taxpayers and retirement funds have to be used to fund data centers, have to be used as they're going to flush everybody's assets behind their back. And it becomes another real estate debacle. Because you see it now, even with the Elon Musk thing, you can like or hate what he does and allegedly does. The fact that you just saw the $100 trillion and then he lost 65% of the value the next day after everybody on the inside got their cash. And by the way, interestingly, he can apparently use the value of that newfound money to go borrow and buy a $60 billion company. Try going to the bank with your house and saying, I don't think I should pay taxes on property this year because it's not realized, but then still be able to use the equity in your house to borrow money and go buy stuff on credit. It only works if you're a billionaire or you have yourself set up that way. And that's the interesting phenomena. The poor schmoes who think they have pensions and retirement funds, sorry, bankrupted out. Bye-bye. Hope it's nice living on the streets. Larry needs his money, you know.
All right. So what do you reckon, Kurt?
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit darker than some other folks when it comes to these kinds of things, because I see Elon Musk, I see Bill Gates, I see the article that we shared here with Altman and of course Mark Zuckerberg's recent comments. And I just think to myself, it's like when all of the news anchors say the same phrases at the same time. Something's up, right? So we have to go, well, something's up. And then I... Spencer likes race cars. I would say it's like, to me, it's like the Second Amendment. When he said arms race, that popped right up for me. It's like, it's almost like they're saying, this is too dangerous. You should leave this to the pros. We should have the government and executives at a high level, fully aware of these tools, should be in control of this. And you can have the trickle down. Like, you don't need, you know, a semi-automatic weapon. You should just have a shotgun and that's it. You can go hunting, but you can't have arms. I almost see it like that kind of a conversation that's going to be in our future.
Right, you. I think it's time for us to have our middle break. We've got some great stories when we come back, like I say. So we're going to go for our middle break, folks. We will be back in a few moments.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out, if you want to support the show and you're listening on your mobile device on Spotify or on iTunes, why don't you leave us a review? It really will help the show and it will get us new listeners, which is fantastic. So if you could do that, you'd be really supporting the show. On we go to the next one. State of Community Survey finds that 3 in 4 feel worse about WordPress, but 90% agree with what matters. So Kurt, what did you reckon about this one?
Which one are we on again?
We're on number three.
I don't know what this is. I kind of got lost there for a little bit. I'm not really surprised. I mean, there's been so much upheaval in the last 2 years and so much, especially if you're keyed into like the X community and things like and what people say. But then there's the other side that comes to me, right? Who did she survey, right? Like where are these numbers coming from? I mean, I went 12 or 15 years without even knowing that there was a WordPress community, even though I was running a WordPress agency. You know, I didn't call it a WordPress agency because I didn't know any better. I was just making websites for people in my community, right? And so when I compare these types of reports, these types of surveys, these types of outcomes to my experience out in the real world, out in nature, I'm really driven by the difference that I see. You know, like we make a lot of assumptions about AI. We make a lot of assumptions about the community. We make a lot of assumptions about because we're in it. But when we open our eyes and we spread our perspectives a little bit wider, I think in the end, it doesn't really matter.
So, Chris, what did you reckon about this?
You know, the insiders that go to WordCamps and things like that, I know a lot of WordPress product companies are flatlining or experiencing some growth declines. I know big and small agencies that are having harder times getting clients. The market is super saturated with, you know, other tools like Shopify and a million other website builders. The part where I get excited is I'm not a developer. So when I first found WordPress and I could put together a website without having to use Dreamweaver or whatever, I felt like WordPress was for me, right? Like, oh, finally I can do this. And of course we have this whole ecosystem of custom development and designers, but I feel like there's one opportunity right here with AI where that kind of Cambrian explosion can happen again, where if we get the AI and the WordPress integration right, as a community, not just as like one tool here, one tool there, and the like we were talking about with the large language models, and you know, here comes Kimmy open source solution. We know the open source games, and I'm always like fascinated with the AI open source conversations on social media. I never hear WordPress come up, but like we've seen this movie before with open source tech, and WordPress is quite a large tool, but to, you know, democratize development and good design and just building WordPress through conversational interfaces while also having a real community of human beings that are passionate and not just like one company behind some website building SaaS product. It's pretty exciting, but there's going to be a lot of growing pains here. There's going to be a lot of death and destruction. And what I mean by that is like, we have to evolve with this and through this and learn new skills and what used to work before for agencies, product companies, DIY builders. It's all in flux right now. And, you know, the economy is really hard. People don't have a lot of extra money to spend on things. So in many ways, WordPress can benefit there because a lot of the stuff is free. But also people aren't shopping and buying as many premium tools as they used to. And, you know, then like, what if AI can vibe code a small utility plugin versus, you know, use this established one that has community and whatnot. So we got to navigate this, but I'm pretty optimistic about it, but this is our shot. Like we're talking about the past 2 years. I'm saying the next 2 years are going to be critical for the future of WordPress. And it's not, the lights aren't going to turn off. The curtain's not going to roll up. If we don't navigate this well, there'll be a slow decline. But if we do navigate it well, we're on another J curve of growth and it'll get really exciting again.
All right. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. So, Mark, what did you reckon?
So many questions. First of all, 431 to community members is not a very big sample size. And so it's hard to say. Now, I mean, the results, I wouldn't say surprised me, but also, how do I say this? Because Say is such a good friend of mine. But I think that the people who are likely to take the survey, maybe people, Say has been very public about her feelings on where things stand. And I wonder if the people who took the survey are more likely to be subjective in the same way that she might be. So I question, who are the respondents, mostly from the US, or are they from other countries? So, once again, the results don't, on one hand, like my intuition says the results don't surprise me. But on the other hand, the data monger person inside of me is like, I don't really have enough data here to look at this and say that it's, you know, that there's enough information here for me to draw an absolute conclusion. But it is, it doesn't mean it's not a warning sign. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means there's not enough here. There's only something here.
Yep, I thought that was well put. Yeah. So, what do you reckon, Spencer?
Chris brings up some really good points. And I think here's the metaphor that comes to mind. The WordPress that we used to know involved a lot of people making about a lot of manual parts and coming together like a flea market, which was both its benefit and its downfall. It was the benefit because all of us made parts. And we all came together and talked, and we still made the parts ourselves, but we were all kind of thinking like, here's the idea of what this thing should be used to build. And Mullenweg's leadership aside, we kind of needed each other and wanted to associate with each other. And our customers needed us to basically go to the flea market, get parts and put it together or fix what they had done themselves. When you move to AI, we need to move to a model that we're all basically agreeing that we're interior designers who all shop at IKEA for our clients. And the reason is because it's too easy now when you have the right tools to just not deal with anybody else making parts. The AI makes the parts or you use a central system. We need to shift upstream to a unified group of thought about how to service the business owners and the people who don't want to do the things that we could learn how to do with the new tools. But we can't get there without IKEA being run by a sane group of people with the same mindset. IKEA works because you go there no matter where it is. Big blue building, yellow stripes. There's meatballs on the second floor, sweet rolls on the first. There's the kids' bed. You know what I mean, right? Bottom is where the, you know, every IKEA before going and find a guy with a yellow vest. Well, we can all be the guys with the yellow vest with WordPress if we could get a unified set of tools that aren't made by everybody individually. So we're not monetizing on making parts anymore. We're monetizing on the central set of stuff that works together. And we've moved into the service-based economy of being experts at using the AI tools. That could work, but it will not work when I saw the video of what I saw of a person who's just completely disenfranchised from what's happening around him. The rest of us, it's working great. I could not report back with any better results from minute launch of my own version of this. And it makes me really, that's why we were joking before the show. I'm like, I miss you guys because I have absolutely no reason to go hang out at a WordCamp unless it's just to drink with you. But we can go do that elsewhere because there's no longer a flea market economy. It's gone. We need a service economy for WordPress for all the reasons Chris said.
Right. What do you reckon, James?
Well, as I was looking over the survey, one of the things that kind of stood out to me is that ultimately I agree with the conclusion. I just don't think the survey proves it. To other people's points, the data is, the slice is too small. The way it was sampled is not really an effective methodology for really determining what the community feels. But I do get anecdotally, being at WordCamp US, having lots of conversations, seeing what's going on in X, having all these conversations. Yeah, that all resonates with what I'm hearing and seeing overall. What I think needs to happen and one of the things I'd like to see us change is what I feel like when I came into the WordPress community, we had a different focus. And so what I would love to see a shift is, and I think there's a renaissance. I think AI can usher in this kind of renaissance again, where it's WordPress for the people and not people for WordPress. That one little shift changes the economy. It changes the energy. It changes why we show up. It doesn't mean we're not building WordPress and we're not making WordPress better, but it's why we're making WordPress better that matters. And I think we've lost that touch. And I think the disenfranchisement, the reason there's this bad feeling is I think everyone feels like we're a tool and a cog to build WordPress, of which we have no stake, of which we have no control, of which we have no say into what happens. And it's not WordPress serving the people. And so that's the shift that when I read the survey overall, what I would like to see is WordPress for the people, not people for WordPress.
Yeah, that's well put. Obviously, we had some technical problems, folks. So can we cover one more story? Or do most of you have to leave at 10? I know Kirk has to.
I have a 10 o'clock hard stop today.
All right. Well, we'll try and cover one and you have to jump out. All right, what I do is I will, we'll wrap it up now and those, hopefully some of you want to stay on for the next story. So we're going to wrap it up now, folks. So, James, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Absolutely. The best place to get in touch with me is just jameslaws.com, and you'll find access to everything from there.
And Chris, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
LifterLMS.com. And if you like podcasts, check out LMScast.
And Kirk, what's the best place for people to find out more about you?
I'm on LinkedIn, baby. I'm easy to find.
Right. And Spence, what's the best place for people to find out more about you?
SocialSpencerForeman.com, F-O-R-M-A-N.
And Mark, what's the best place?
You can find me, MainWP, of course, and then all around the socials, LinkedIn, X, all the things.
That's great. We're going to wrap up the podcast part, but hopefully we are going to discuss the next article on my list. And you'll be able to watch everything on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Join us next week for another great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.